Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to local programming here on KGYM. Spencer on Sports is the name of this little slice of the radio afternoon here on KGYM. Spencer Wagon here with you, producer Isaac along for the ride as well. And you, the listener, talk or text line wide open at 319-366-1600 here for you on this gorgeous Friday afternoon, 14th day of April of 2023. Lots to get to in the next 54 minutes or so. We'll get to Major League Baseball, including a story I just saw a few moments ago. Why police in Denver are on the lookout for someone who did something naughty. Very, very naughty at a baseball game the other night. Featuring the Colorado Rockies and the St. Louis Cardinals. I will tell you why police are looking for a suspect from that game. One of the more interesting stories from the early part of the baseball season. We'll get to that before the end of the show today. Also, look at the scoreboard from last night, schedule for the weekend. Get into top baseball headlines later on in the show. Also, we'll get to some basketball. NBA playoffs start up tomorrow. Got two play-in games yet to go to tonight. Those are the words I'm looking to say. Hopefully here this afternoon, but we got two games tonight that will determine the eight seeds in both the East and the West. Tonight, a couple regional teams involved, the Chicago Bulls taking on the Miami Heat and the Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. We have both those games on our airwaves tonight starting at 6 right after the Todd Brommelkamp show here on KGYM. Get into those, get into the playoff matchups and a few other news and notes from the National Basketball Association here today. As I look up on my screen and I see, surprise, surprise, Stephen A. Smith on ESPN. Why would he be on ESPN? Oh, wait, he's on ESPN like 824 hours of the 24-hour day. Assuming he's yelling about the Knicks or the Lakers or something right now. I don't know what he's talking about. It's on mute. But we'll talk about the NBA and get some thoughts about this weekend's action. But we're going to start with, I know, everyone's favorite topic. The transfer portal. Ah, yes. Who doesn't love talking about the transfer portal? Everyone loves the transfer portal, right? We got some news involving the transfer portal on the college football side. We'll get to in just a moment. But first, we'll tell you again, we are coming to you on 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City on the stream at KGYMradio.com. Also available on your smartphone via the free KGYM app. You can download it today and stream us there. Also on your smart speaker and in podcast form as well. And 319-366-1600. I'm going to start today's show with a question for the listening audience out there. And this kind of has to tie in with the transfer portal. I was thinking about this. We'll talk about the news that has to do with the portal and recruiting. But then Fran McCaffrey made some comments yesterday at the end of the season banquet for Iowa men's basketball about recruiting and NIL. And it got me thinking, and this is the question I'll pose to you at 319-366-1600. If I gave you, yes, you, the listener, the power to, and I'll say realistically, fix the transfer portal and issues with NIL, how would you go about doing that? Again, realistically, some folks might say, ban transfers and NIL. I respect your opinion if that's what you think needs to happen, but let's be realistic. It's not going to happen. There will be many, many lawsuits. There will be lawyers, as the sports business analyst Andrew Brandt says. If you follow him on Twitter, you've seen him tweet out the words, there will be lawyers. If you tried to ban NIL, tried to ban transferring, there will be many, many, many lawyers. But if you could realistically fix the issues with the transfer portal, the issues with the NIL, or just NIL, not the NIL, don't want to sound like I'm out of touch here on the radio, how would you go about doing that? 319-366-1600. We'll get to why I say that and why I ask that question here momentarily. But first, the newsy part of it and why, you know, we decided to bring this up here today. If you've been following along, it is still spring practice season. Iowa and Iowa State still have about a week to go. And the spring scrimmage, open practice, whatever you want to call it, for Iowa's next weekend at Kinnick Stadium. Probably good timing considering the weather, especially for tomorrow. Doesn't sound like a great weather day to be out watching spring football, but I digress. Spring football is about to come to an end, and then we wait until fall camp, and then we get geared up for the season. We talk about, you know, opening week, and next thing you know, we're talking about you know, playoffs and all that good stuff. But the transfer portal for college football is reopening very soon. In fact, it reopens tomorrow, April 15th. It's the post-spring practice window. And The Athletic did a good job breaking this down on their website. If you subscribe to them, you could check out the full details of it. But essentially, you remember there were these, you can call them guidelines, put into place about when players can transfer. There's specific transfer windows in which players can put their name in the portal. Obviously, you have to, you know, inform your school that you're intending to transfer. And then you can put your name in the portal and be contacted by schools, be contacted by, you know, teams across the country that might be interested in you. Could be, you know, same level of, you know, play that you were at. Could be lower level. You could maybe never leave the transfer portal. Just depends on, you know, your situation, your skill set. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of factors that go into it. But tomorrow, Saturday, April 15th, marks the opening of the 15-day post-spring window in which all players can have their names entered into the portal. And it's an important piece of roster building. Essentially called free agency if you want it to, but it's going to be another kind of busy time where you see tweets coming left and right. You're still seeing them with college basketball athletes, but you're going to be seeing these new stories and tweets from athletes and all this different stuff that comes with it of players entering the transfer portal. It's the spring transfer window, opens on April 15th and closes on April 30th. The NCAA Division I Council initially moved that window or initially set that window as May 1st to the 15th, but said, well, maybe we should move this up a little bit to coincide with the end of spring practice. Now, not everybody's done, as we said, but once spring practice is over, then you can make that decision. Or maybe you've made that decision, you know, depending on your situation, your playing status, and all the different factors that that go into it. So this second window goes into effect tomorrow, April 15th, runs through the end of the month, Sunday, April 30th, and we're going to be hearing more and more portal news. It's such a common topic in this day and age in college sports, but it's the reality of the situation that we're in when it comes to college athletics. Some numbers, some interesting stuff from this Athletic, article from The Athletic. The first transfer window, remember there was one that's in place right after the season comes to an end. So once, you know, the conference championship games are done, there's a window that opens up. So early December, and it stays open through about mid-January or so. Specifically this past year, it was December 5th of 2022 to January of 2018. Well, in that transfer window, more than 1,200 scholarship players entered the portal. Now, granted, this is a longer period of time, so longer period of time, longer opportunity to enter the portal probably means that you're going to see more names enter the portal. So the experts who follow recruiting are saying, you know, it's likely to be quieter April 15th through the 30th, the window that opens tomorrow, but still there's expected to be some movement. You think about it, after spring practice, you know, maybe you don't like where you are in the depth chart. You know, some of the other transfers that came in before you, or came in with you, I guess, a better way to put it, maybe they're a little bit higher up in the depth chart. Maybe they You know, you fell out of favor with the coaches. There was a dust up in practice. I don't know. A lot of different reasons that could go into a decision to transfer. But you have another window now for this 15-day period to try to find your new home if you so choose. So that's the reason why this is a topic of discussion because, yeah, I mean, if I didn't talk about this, would you know that the portal had even closed? you probably, if you follow college athletics, you know, right, that there's been windows put in place, transfer windows put in place. But in the grand scheme of things, like, you know, you hear so much about the portal. It seems like, you know, there's huge, you know, Twitter, huge followings on social media of, you know, transfer portal accounts, names popping up by the hour, by the minute. You could see why people would think, oh, it closed? Wait, what? Well, it did. There's a window opening up. So that's kind of the reason I bring it up, because it's one of those interesting times. We saw this, here within the last year, specific example that I'm sure Iowa fans know, Charlie Jones announcing his decision to leave the Iowa football team after spring practice last year. And really hurting Iowa, of course, and he went on to have a fantastic season over at Purdue. Haven't heard any rumblings, you know, so far. Window's not open yet, but it's one of those things that it's the reality of college sports and how things are done. Portal is there. The portal is being utilized here in 2023, and we'll just start to see those names pop up again. Why I asked the question, and again, your thoughts welcome at 309-366-1600. If I gave you a opportunity to realistically fix the transfer portal in NIL, how would you go about doing it? I asked that question because I read an article, and you can go to the Gazette. John Steppe from the Gazette had a summary of what Fran McCaffrey had to say, and this is switching from football to basketball, but still relevant in the long run when it comes to learning about recruiting and learning about transfer portal, learning about how NIL, name, image, and likeness, is playing a factor into this. Fran McCaffrey had some interesting things to say yesterday. This was ahead of the team's end-of-the-year banquet in Iowa City. Fran McCaffrey telling a group of reporters there that essentially the portal is all NIL, and revealing that when it comes to recruiting players, they basically choose to address it directly with prospective recruits. McCaffrey saying in this article, again, from the Gazette, a lot of the guys you talk to, they say NIL is not a big part of their decision. McCaffrey saying most of the time they're telling the truth, but they have an expectation that it is going to be part of the decision. And he went on to tell those reporters that they are, you know, trying to determine, okay, who's doing it to maybe find a better spot to play basketball, or who is doing it mostly for money as a result of picking the right place and having a perfect fit. And Iowa, Fran McCaffrey talking about how they try recruiting the latter of the two groups, finding that perfect fit as opposed to we're solely in this for the money. But interesting stuff also said by Fran McCaffrey about what he called disgraceful actions from some agents amid the NCAA's approach to NIL and the implementation of name, image, and likeness, and how it's impacted the transfer portal. McCaffrey telling reporters yesterday he thinks it's really bad that there are agents shopping mid-major players before they go into the portal and then convincing them to go into the portal. And did not hold back when talking about it, said with the NCAA, the NCAA screwed this thing up completely, and they're not able to try to fix it. First of all, is anybody surprised the NCAA messed it up? The NCAA fumbled the bag. Yeah. Had a chance to get out in front of it, had a chance to say, okay, this is going to go into effect. You know, here's what we think, you know, how this should be handled and all this stuff. They basically just let it go. Leadership? What's leadership? We could just punt. Punting is winning, right? Well, maybe not in this case. But it really is a shame, really, when you hear, you know, Fran McCaffrey, you know, okay, some people might say, oh, it's sour grapes because, you know, Fran hasn't had a lot of success in the portal. Yeah, you can say that if you want to, but when a coach is saying this, I think you have to take his word for it, right? It's not just blindly pointing and alleging things without any proof. Like, a guy who's been in contact with mid-major players, been in contact with players that are in the portal, he hears it. He's in tune. And certainly is a shame to hear when you think about college sports, and I'll speak from the young old dude perspective here. Remember when money wasn't a problem? Not saying I'm against NIL, but remember when you could recruit athletes and find the right fit and didn't have to be concerned about how much money they're expecting to get out of a certain deal? Again, not saying that is, you know, everybody's concern, but it's part of the conversation. And it's tough to hear, especially when you're talking about mid-major schools that are already, at a disadvantage when it comes to competing against the top-tier schools for dollars and talent and all those different things. It's certainly difficult as a fan of college sports, and it's disappointing. It's aggravating, very aggravating, to hear that there are bad actors out there that are trying to turn it into, well, hey, you know, I know you say you're happy at the school, but we can get you a lot of money if you enter the portal and then announce your commitment to this school. Shameful. I have to agree with Fran McCaffrey when he says it's a really bad thing when you hear of stuff like that happening. That's where I come up with the question. How would you realistically fix the issues? The transfer portal and NIL. Again, like I said, say realistically, because you're not going to end it. You're not going to ban transferring. You're not going to ban, NIL. You're not going to ban payments like that. It's part of the game now. And again, folks reading that article on the Gazette, great job as always by John Steppe and the folks over there at the Gazette getting it out there. Yeah, you might say it's sour grapes, but it's part of the game. And adapting is important as well. I honestly don't know how you fix it. You try to do something that you might think makes sense. Might think you might get a lot of agreement on. Might not be supported by the players in the game, if you know what I mean. Is the NCAA going to get legislation passed? I think that was their goal when they brought in the new president, Charlie Baker, former governor of Massachusetts. He has a lot of political experience. Been there, done that when it comes to trying to get deals done. But is it really going to be taken up by Congress? I don't want to get too far in the political weeds. We could do that, but then this would be political talk radio, and that's not what we're here for on this radio show. But I don't know how you fix it. I've said before that you probably need a limit on transfers. Again, I say that considering, you know, a multitude of factors like coaches leaving. Obviously, there's going to be, you know, outside circumstances like a family member passing away, players at a school across the country and, you know, wants to transfer close to home. Totally can understand that, but I think, you know, we could and should see transfers that are a limit on transfers, one freebie maybe, and then, consider the circumstances for any others. NIL, you know, I think I support it. But should we have a cap on it? I'm not sure you can put a cap in place when it comes to NIL. And that's where, you know, I think the NCAA is hoping that There's legislation done at the federal level to put it in place, or to put a cap in place, and that's kind of where the sticking point is. Charlie Baker actually talked. I found an article with him on March Madness, or during March Madness, the NCAA talking about the challenges of putting something in place at the federal level, something that he is going to be tasked with at least trying to do. He even came out right and said to CNN, it's going to be difficult for the NCAA to develop a national plan because there are states that have their own NIL laws on the topic. He said if the states ended up passing laws, or if they have passed laws in the past, he said whatever the NCAA rules are in NIL, they don't apply in our state. States can come right back and say, well, yeah, you might have this, you know, this NCAA rule, but, you know, here in this state, X state, whatever state it might be, fill in the variable, it might be different. And the laws might say different. Baker is saying in this interview with CNN, he thinks it's incumbent on us to come up with a proposal that works in the absence of that legislation. He says, I do think it will be harder to apply it to all 50 states if states pass laws that put schools in positions where they have to make a call. Also adding in when it comes to the transfer portal, said it is an important element of the evolving NIL situation. He said, I don't think you can talk about one without talking about the other, as we've just done. He said, you can't make progress on these things without acknowledging their issues and then figuring out a way to actually solve and deal with them. So you got to make progress. You got to talk about it. You got to figure it out. But how soon can you figure it out? Things, as we know, especially in politics, we've seen examples of both. They can move real fast. When you've got a majority, you've got parties that want to get stuff done, or maybe they're just trying to ram things through. Or things can sit at a deadlock, and people disagreeing, people choosing not to advance things. A lot of different factors that come into play, but certainly is an interesting conversation, and well, a conversation that is not going away anytime soon. Another piece of news, too, before we get to a break here, we're overdue for one here on the show, but the NCAA announced yesterday afternoon there are new rules, speaking of recruiting, for official and unofficial visits. Main change is that there are no longer restrictions on how many official visits you can take. Prospects no longer going to be restricted to 5 official visits, but they are going to be limited to 1 official visit per school. If there is a coaching change, say you are being recruited by a certain school, by a certain coach, and that coach is sent packing, fired, then a second official visit can be taken. The rules for this will take place this August. College programs still have a limit, though, with this, despite the recruits themselves, the players themselves, no longer being restricted to 5 official visits, just 1 per school. College programs still will have a limit of 56 total official visits per year. So that's another change that was put in place by the Division I Council. Again, those go into effect, in August. So we'll see those coming up right before the start of the season. So interesting stuff happening. Interesting stuff throughout the college sports landscape. Transfer portal window for football opening up tomorrow. We'll see what comes of that, both on a local, regional, and a national level here as we get through spring practice and look ahead toward the start of the regular season. Still several months away. 2:29 overdue for a timeout. We'll take a quick one and talk a little basketball on the other side. Take a look at the NBA play-in games tonight, the playoffs this weekend, and more. Coming up, Spencer on Sports with you here on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we are going to have clouds building in as we head through this afternoon. It'll be warm and windy with temperatures around 80 degrees. As we head into tonight, the clouds will continue to build, and we are going to have the chance for showers and storms by Saturday morning. Tomorrow, we'll have some dry time with temperatures in the low 70s. We'll then have the chance for additional showers and storms in the afternoon and evening, some of which may be strong. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay, they'll be picking up through April 28th on garbage day. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Get the message. Go to crnewsnow.com.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. E&J Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have E&J install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from E&J Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at E&J Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get ours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at 2:31, Spencer at Sports with you here for a Friday, April 14th of 2023 at 319-366-1600. They are lighting the beam. Keegan Murray getting doused with water on TV. What is going on ESPN right now? Talk about the Sacramento Kings. They begin their playoff journey tomorrow night on ABC. We'll get into that here momentarily. Poll question at KGYMRadio.com, courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Will either the Bulls or Thunder win on the road tonight? Yes or no? Early leader in the clubhouse is yes. Bulls playing in Miami. First game tonight, just after 6. That's on TNT. And then on ESPN tonight, Oklahoma City heading up to the Target Center in Minneapolis, taking on the Timberwolves. Home teams are anywhere from a 5 to 5.5 point favorite at the major sports books as of this afternoon. Heat across the board were a 5.5 point favorite, but now specifically at DraftKings and Caesars, specifically they are down back to a 5 point favorite. The T-Wolves are anywhere from a 5 to 5.5 point favorite at the major sports books tonight. If I had to make a pick, again, the winner moves on. The winner of each game tonight moves on to the 8th seed in the respective conferences. I've been really underwhelmed. Maybe I don't know. I haven't watched a ton of Miami Heat games this year. I just have little to no interest in the Miami Heat when it comes to the NBA. If I had to make a pick, I'm going to say the Bulls get the win there. And I don't know about the Timberwolves. Rudy Gobert expected to be back after missing the game against the Lakers the other night after that suspension. I like the Thunder. I like the talent they have. Very, very young talent. A team that I was reading ESPN stats and info earlier today. They weren't really expected to do much this year. They had less than a 0.1% chance to make the playoffs. And actually, ESPN Analytics had them finishing with the worst record of the NBA before the season. Prove those statisticians wrong, Thunder. I don't know. It's tough. Feel like I'm going to go with the two Midwest teams, Bulls and Timberwolves. I am playing both sides of the coin. Absolutely, 100% yes. Playing to both fan bases. Bulls fans can't hate me. T-Wolves fans can't hate me either. Pick the Bulls to upset Miami on the road, and then I'll take the T-Wolves at home. So that would put Chicago in the first round against my beloved Milwaukee Bucks, and that would put the T-Wolves up against the Denver Nuggets. I almost said Sacramento Kings. I don't know why I said that, but not the Kings. They would be playing the Denver Nuggets as the number 8 seed this weekend. Both those games, both those series would take place on Sunday. But I'll take the Bulls and the T-Wolves tonight. We'll see. I think that, I feel like the Thunder have a pretty good shot to win that game. Like what they did on the road. I mean, New Orleans, I think, would easily, I don't want to say easily won that game, but Zion plays. Zion had played. I don't think I said this on, was it Wednesday's show? I don't think the Pelicans are in the play-in if Zion plays, if he's healthy. I think he plays a key element in that team's success. He has not lived up to, he's not stayed healthy enough, number one, but not lived up to the expectations. So I think the Pelicans missed him quite a bit. OKC took advantage, played some good basketball, got to where they are tonight. Still think at least one home team wins tonight, and I will put that on the Timberwolves. I may have just given them the KOD here this afternoon, but we'll see. We have both those games, like I mentioned, on KGYM tonight, courtesy of ESPN Radio. Got those for you tonight, just after 6. Todd Brommelkamp show wraps up at 6, and we'll have ESPN Radio's coverage there. Do have some playoff action for you tomorrow. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks. 5 o'clock tip-off time, 4:30 pregame, courtesy of ESPN Radio. We have that for you on Saturday afternoon. Part of 4 games tomorrow, Brooklyn and Philly, Boston and Atlanta, the Cavs and the Knicks. And then tomorrow night, 7:30 Central Time on ABC TV, Sacramento hosting Golden State. The Kings, most sports books have them as a slight favorite, 1 to 1.5 point favorite. It's going to be a tough series. I saw something that the Warriors are the, at least, you know, from the betting perspective, the favorite to win that series. Makes sense because they're the defending NBA champs as the 6th seed, which is certainly odd to, you know, see them there. That's where they landed this year. Definitely think the Kings can win that series. Is that the one that might go to 7? I feel like we always get a series might go to 7. ESPN Radio has been spending a lot of time talking about the Western Conference playoffs specifically. Heard that this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. A lot of their conversation, of course, focused on the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. I feel like if we have any series that go to 7, there's going to be mostly out of the West. Golden State, Sacramento, Lakers, and Memphis. And would not be surprised to see Clippers and Phoenix. Maybe, I don't know, could go to 6. I feel like Phoenix is gonna win that game. I don't think I'm doing official picks. I didn't prepare any today. I think you all know I've talked enough about the Milwaukee Bucks on this radio show to know that I'm hoping that they win another championship. Sorry, Bulls fans. Wolves fans. Realistically, who do I think can win the championship? The Bucks. I worry about the Celtics. As a fan, Bucks did not look good in their most recent meeting against Boston. It was a regular season meeting, but you look at how last year's series played out. Eastern Conference semifinals. When the Bucks go cold, they go cold. When they're not playing well, and there's a bad matchup against them. Things can get ugly, as they did in the final game of that series last year. We'll see. Boston's got to play Philly. Philly's playing some good ball. Both, of course, have to advance out of their first-round series. I take Boston. I think they're better than Philly. So I've been doing just picks on the fly here. I'll take Milwaukee and Boston in the East finals. West finals, boy, where do I even go with this? I don't want to pick the top 2 seeds for the standings here. Top two seeds in the West are Denver and Memphis. I feel like everybody's picking Phoenix. I feel like that's too easy to go Phoenix, but since I'm doing this on the fly, I will go Phoenix. I'll go Denver and Phoenix in the West. And then, what are we going to get? What are we going to get? Championship. Repeat of 2021. Bucks and Suns. One seed and four seed. There we go. That's my pick. Bucks and Suns in the NBA Finals. And you already know who I'm picking to win. And I probably just gave them the kiss of death. But there you go. My impromptu, not planned picks. Milwaukee and Phoenix. Ratings winner, for sure. Now you got KD. If that were to happen, KD and Giannis, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, lots of star power in that. As long as Milwaukee, in my humble opinion, is hosting or hoisting the championship trophy, there's another crazy parade throughout the streets of Bruce City, I think we'll be fine. Speaking seriously, though, if you're looking at placing a wager, this is courtesy of Caesars Sportsbook. The Bucks are the consensus favorite. Plus 275 at Caesars, Celtics are second. At plus 325, Suns are third. Warriors, plus 800 to repeat. And the Sixers are plus 950 at Caesars. I was reading this on ESPN.com. The Kings actually pose the largest liability for Caesars Sportsbook. Caesars reporting a bettor placed a $10,000 bet on the Kings to win the NBA title at 750-1. And another $8,000 wager on the Kings at 350-1. Those bets would win a net $10.3 million if the Sacramento Kings were able to win the NBA title. An unlikely path. They are the three seed in the West. Tough out right away with Golden State. That West is going to be a bear of a playoff bracket here. As well. The Lakers also, a lot of people putting some money down on LeBron James and the Lakers to possibly advance in the playoffs. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Lots of basketball to go, everything getting started here this weekend. The two play-in games tonight, getting things going in Chicago and Miami, Oklahoma City and Minnesota at 8:30 tonight. Both of them right here on KGYM 242, another quick timeout, back with a little baseball to start to wind down the program here on a Friday.
We had a significant foundation settling issue at our residential property, and we needed money fast to fix it, and Midwest One Bank came to our rescue.
We're talking with Brian Kirschling about Midwest One Bank.
Midwest One Bank helped us secure a home equity loan in order to remedy the situation. Your home is your most valuable asset, and Midwest One Bank gave us peace of mind. And Midwest One Bank was there when we needed them.
Midwest One Bank, simply better banking. Loan subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Save big money in your next project with the 11% off at Menards. Transform your home with a new garage door from Ideal Door. Menards carries more than 10 different garage doors across 4 different sizes. In stock today. Give your home the update it deserves and get a 9x7 insulated garage door with windows for $629.99 after 11% rebate. Good through April 16th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Come to the largest card and collectible show in Cedar Rapids
this Sunday
from 9 to 3 at the Ramada Hotel, 33rd Avenue Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Free admission, door prizes, over 70 tables.
Presented by JC Shows.
Details on Facebook at JC Shows.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back at 244, moments away from 245 with Spencer on Sports here for a Friday, April 14th of 2023 at 319-366-1600. Gym class on the way between 3 and 4. Todd Brummelkamp on the way between 4 and 6. Mentioned coming up before we leave the airwaves today, before I leave the airwaves today, why police in Denver are looking for someone who did something very naughty at a baseball game earlier this week. We'll tell you about that coming up before the show is over. Quick look at the scoreboard from yesterday. Pretty light one. Twins fans, I'm sure you're happy about the result from last night at Yankee Stadium. 11-2, a 9-run first. What year is it? The Twins got 9 runs off the Yankees at Yankee Stadium? Too bad it's only April, 14th. We're not talking about this in October. A Twins fans, but still, impressive victory, 11-2. Twins beating the Yankees last night. 9-run first, like I said, capped off by back-to-back-to-back homers from Michael A. Taylor, Edward Julian, and Carlos Correa. And Taylor also clubbing a second home run for his night in the third inning. Joe Ryan, solid stuff as well. 7 innings pitched, gave up a run on 3 hits, didn't walk anybody, and struck out 10. Tampa Bay, we talked about them during the show yesterday. 9-3 winners, now 13-0 on the year. If they beat Boston there. Baltimore getting a walk-off homer from Adley Rutschman to beat Oakland 8-7. Cincy beating Philly 6-2 last night. Also, Detroit beating Toronto 3-1. Javi Baez, discuss. Man, he is, I don't know what the deal was there, but Javi Baez removed from yesterday's game, if you didn't hear the story, was taken out of the game after he lost track of how many outs there were and ran into a double play. A.J. Hinch removing Baez in the third, one inning after his gaffe on the bases. He's facing Chris Bassitt. He doubled off the left field wall with one out in the second for his first extra base hit of the year. He didn't run hard out of the box, apparently thinking he had hit a home run when it's actually a double. Didn't really work out the way he had planned there. He got in safely, but then broke for third, rounded the bases on a liner to center by Akil Badu, and then was double up for the third out. Baez saying, quote, his mind is everywhere now, or my mind is everywhere now. He says he's just trying to focus on hitting and timing and other stuff that go into being a professional baseball player. A.J. Hinch, the manager, saying he didn't want to embarrass anybody, didn't want to lessen the bench, but just want to make sure that we aren't making these mistakes and we're being held accountable. Wants to hold the players accountable. And certainly taking out someone after a gaffe like that is, I think at least respected, considering how egregious it was in the game and the situation there. Tigers able to win that one over Toronto, though, 3-1 last night. Streak comes to an end for Jordan Walker. His hitting streak for the Cardinals rookie ended at 12 games, went 0-4 last night. And the 5-0 loss to Pittsburgh. Brendan Donovan leading the way for St. Louis with a 2-for-5 night at the plate. Brewers getting a late-night win over San Diego last night, 4-3, thanks to Rowdy Tellez. 2-for-3, a home run. Also had the go-ahead sack fly in the 10th inning. Solid stuff from Cascade Zone Colin Ray last night. Didn't get the win, but went 5 2/3 innings, gave up 2 hits, a run, a walk, and struck out 6 for the crew in a spot start last night. Looking at the schedule for tonight, Twins at Yankee Stadium. Louis Varland getting called up for Minnesota. He will make the start tonight opposite Nestor Cortez at 6:05 Central Time. White Sox welcoming the Orioles to town for a 6:10 start on the south side. Atlanta and Kansas City, Charlie Morton taking on Brady Singer there. St. Louis and Pittsburgh again tonight from St. Louis. San Diego hosting Milwaukee tonight, and the Cubs out west taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers. That is a 9:10 start time tonight. Justin Steele opposite Noah Syndergaard coming up tonight at 9:10 out west. Colonels fell for the first time this year, losing to Cedar Rapids, or losing, didn't lose to themselves, lost to Quad Cities 4-1. Noah Cameron, some nice stuff for the River Bandits last night. Struck out 8 in 5 innings, part of 12 total strikeouts, I believe, for Quad Cities last night as the Colonels fall to 5-1 on the year. As their Facebook post after the game last night said, the quest for 131-1 starts tonight at 6:35 as they continue that six-game set with the River Bandits. Again, doubleheader play going on as we speak here within the next couple minutes for both Iowa baseball and softball. Hawkeyes baseball team up in Minnesota taking on the Golden Gophers, playing a doubleheader today, trying to dodge the weather, which is supposed to come through much in the Midwest tomorrow with some rain and some wind and stuff like that. So a doubleheader today up in the Twin Cities for Iowa baseball, scheduled to play Sunday as well. And then Iowa softball at home against Maryland. Doubleheader going on here within the next few minutes down at Pearl Field in Iowa City. 319-366-1600 coming up on 251. I'll tell you about that crazy story out of Denver. What someone did that got them in trouble at a baseball game. It's on the way next. Back in 60 seconds here at KGYM with Spencer at Sports.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back at 252 with Spencer on Sports here on a Friday, April 14th of 2023. 319-366-1600. Gym class coming up in just a few moments. Todd Brommelkamp on the way between 4 and 6. As promised, sticking with baseball to wrap up the show today. There was an incident earlier this week at Coors Field, home of the Colorado Rockies. Police are looking for someone who is in some trouble for their actions at the game. No, they did not get into a fight. No, they did not steal concessions or steal merchandise or get into the game illegally or even run onto the field. Oh, no. They tackled the Rockies mascot, Dinger. Dinosaur. Dinger the Dinosaur. Triceratops, I think. I watched Jurassic Park way too many times when I was younger, so I'm assuming it's a Triceratops. But anyways, Dinger the Dinosaur was doing his mascot thing at the game against the St. Louis Cardinals. He was on top of the dugout. He was dancing and entertaining fans, as mascots do. And someone decided to jump up on top of the dugout and tackle Dinger, the mascot for the Rockies. Really? You just really hate mascots? I don't know. what are you doing? It's an innocent mascot. Mascot doing his job. His or her job. don't want to specify. But anyways, why? Wait, who does that? It tackles a mascot? I mean, come on. Have too many cold ones and said, hey, I'm going to go tackle the mascot. Should you not think it straight? I don't know. Denver police telling Denver7.com the team employee working as Dinger was injured as a part of this because the fan decided to come up and tackle the mascot. Players and fans in the video appeared shocked by what they were seeing. The fan got away from a stadium employee after tackling the team mascot and got away, and they still have not brought this suspect to justice yet as of this afternoon. So they're looking for the public's help. If you listening to me in Denver or you saw that game and you can identify who this person was, Denver police want to talk to you by finding out who tackled Dinger, the Rockies mascot. Oh boy. Yeah. Not everybody's a fan of mascots. I don't mind them. Some are better than others. I have no issues with mascots myself. I can see why some people don't like mascots and, their crazy antics. I think it's part of the game. Your team has a mascot. You they're going to be doing crazy stuff on the dugouts and in the stands and stuff like that. But do you need to tackle them? Even if you've had a few too many beverages, whatever your case may be, even if you don't like them, leave the mascots alone. Justice for Dinger. Let's bring justice for Dinger this weekend. Reminded me of, I just pulled this up, and I did not intend on remembering some guys today, but 2003, this happened in Milwaukee. You may remember this. Randall Simon of the Pittsburgh Pirates, as the racing sausages at then Miller Park ran by, Randall Simon hit one of them with a bat while he was standing at the top step of the dugout. Remember Randall Simon? Yeah, that was a long time ago. 20 years ago. This happened once before, and sadly will probably happen again. Wrap up the show today. Thanks for hanging out. As always, appreciate it. If you missed anything from the show today, you can always check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. Back with you on Monday. We'll recap everything that went on this weekend in the sports world. Take a look at the NBA playoffs and all that good stuff happening, Major League Baseball, and more as we start a new week here Monday at 2. Gym class coming up next from 3 until 4. Todd Rommelkamp in between 4 and 6, followed by NBA play-in action. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather. This is Ben Spencer on Sports in the Gym.